Hello, everybody, and welcome. On today's podcast, we'll be discussing the Trojan War, what happened, lore and stories around it, and what makes it just so interesting. The Siege of Troy in 1250 BCE has to have had one of the most tight holds on the minds of Western civilization, and this is all thanks to Homer, a poet who was born in around 750 BCE. He wrote the Iliad and other works of writing. For hundreds of years, it was long thought to be the stuff of legends, yet it has recently been suggested that this might have been a part of history as well. When Aphrodite, Greek goddess of love, promised the most beautiful woman in the world to Paris, prince of Troy, neither worried too much about the fact that she was already married. Paris went to Greece when he kidnapped Helen of Sparta and carried her home with him. He did not even consider the consequences, or to be grave indeed. Helen's husband, Menelaus, called together all the heroes of Greece's cities, men such as his brother, Aegimon, king of Mycenae, Achilles, all but invulnerable to wounds, and Ajax, invincible in war. Setting off across the Aegean Sea, the Greeks laid siege to Troy. Periodically, Trojan warriors such as Hector emerged to trade definite speeches with the enemy and engage them in small-scale skirmishes and duels. In the 10th year of the Trojan War, despairing in their inability to take the city by storm, the Greeks resorted to a cunning strategy by who else but Odysseus, including the construction of an enormous wooden horse. Now for Odysseus's plan to work, the Greeks needed a master engineer. Fortunately, they did have one of those in the ranks, Epeius. True, he had the reputation of being a coward, but as far as architecture was concerned, there were not many people on the planet who could rival him both in knowledge and in vision. He needed no more than 3 days and just a few helpers to build the huge hollow horse of fir planks felled on Mount Ida. Following the advice of Odysseus, Epeius also installed the trap door on one side of the wooden horse and engraved large letters on the other, "For their return home." The Greeks dedicated this thank offering to Athena. Once the wooden horse had been built, Odysseus proceeded to persuade the bravest and most skillful of the Greek warriors presented at Troy to climb fully armed into its belly. Some say there were 23 of them, while others speculate the number was between 30 and 50. Either way, we know that for sure, in addition to Odysseus, Menelaus, Domnius, Neoptolemus, Acamas, Cephalus, and Thoas were there also. Even though hesitant and scared stiff, Epeius joined the party as well. He was, after all, the only one who knew how to operate the trapdoor. After debating whether to accept this gift from the Trojans finally decided to bring it within the city walls. With much effort, the Trojans dragged the wooden horse inside their gates. They started wildly celebrating their victory. During the festivals, Helen and Priam's son, Deiphobus, sneaked to the wooden statue, as Deiphobus was observing it in a marvel and patterning its planks. Helen amused him by calling out the names of Greek heroes in the voice of their wives. It's not known whether Helen was part of the plan as well, and this was a whim of overconfidence, or whether she was merely joyful. But owing to either displeasure or eagerness, many Greeks were tempted to leap out of the horse at this point, especially Menelaus and Domnius. However, Odysseus restrained them all and patiently waited for the proper moment for him to enact the final act of his devious plan. At midnight, just before the seventh moon of that year had risen, Sinon slipped through the gates of Troy and kindled a beacon. The signal of Aegimon had waited for the return of the Achaean fleet to the shore. An hour or so later, in dead silence of night, Odysseus raised his sword and ordered Epeius to unlock the trap door. Echon was one of the first to jump out of the horse. Being too eager and reckless, he fell and broke his neck. The rest used Epeius's rope ladder. Soon enough, Aegimon's army stormed through the open gates. Not even the gods could save Troy now. Flash forward to 1,988 years. In 1868, German archaeologist Heinrich Schliemann claimed to have found the site of Troy on a headland between the Aegean Sea and Dardanelles at Hisarlik, Turkey. Scholars long skeptical, now agree that the city may have well been an outpost of the Haiti Empire, and it could quite have easily have come into conflict with the great power of Mycenae. The gods took great interest in the war. Poseidon, Hera, and Athena aided the Greeks, while Aphrodite and Ares favored the Trojans. Zeus and Apollo, although frequently involved in action of war, remained impartial. The events of the final year of war constituted the main part of the Iliad of Homer. The Trojan War probably reflected a real war in 1200 BCE between the invading Greeks and the people of Troas, possibly over control of trade through the Dardanelles. The Iliad is an epic poem by which the ancient poet Homer that recounts some of the significant events of the final week of Trojan War and the Greek siege of the city of Troy, which is also known as Leon, Leos, or Leum in ancient times. Written in the mid-8th century BCE, the Iliad is usually considered to be the earliest work in the whole Western literary tradition, and is one of the best-known and loved stories of all time. Homer wrote these stories based on actual events that happened hundreds of years before he was born, and were passed on orally, generation to generation. A lot of the details in the stories were probably fictional to make it more interesting, but the main conflicts stand true in the eyes of many people. Though its portrayal of the epic subject matter of the Trojan War, the stirring scenes of bloody battles and the wrath of Achilles and the constant interventions of God, it explores themes of glory, wrath, homecoming, and fate, and has provided subjects and stories for many other later Greek, Roman, and Renaissance writings. Thank you for listening on today's show. Hope you have a good one.